One of the hallmarks of our nation is the peaceful transfer of power from one U.S. president to the next. That transition has happened through 45 presidencies and 44 different individuals. One man has served as both our 22nd and 24th president. With hopes of not recalling politics or current headlines to your mind to distract you, this peaceful transfer of power is certainly noteworthy. Governance of top secret information, transfer of physical properties, the highest responsibilities. It takes a massive shift at 12 noon on Inauguration Day. I assume that somewhere behind the scenes there are people that are anxious, fearful, if this transfer of power is going to indeed happen smoothly, without difficulties, if it's going to be pulled off without a hitch. But for the most part, it seems that we spectators, American citizens or not, that we are able to enjoy the regal festivities and the process without fear and without too much anxiety ourselves. The passage that we explore this morning describes a much more tenuous set of circumstances. Would you please find the book of Joshua in your copy of the Scriptures? Joshua chapter 1 is on page 166 of the Pew Bible that's provided for you. Joshua is the sixth book of the Old Testament, which is the first half of the Christian Bible. I mentioned last week in our overview sermon that the book of Joshua is divided into four major sections. The first five chapters deal with entering into the promised land. Chapters 6 through 12 talk about fighting for the promised land. Chapters 13 through 21 talk about the distributing of the promised land. And then the final three chapters, 22 through 24, give some admonishing regarding this promised land. This first chapter describes the transition from the prophet Moses to Joshua. Joshua, the one who had ascended the mountain of God with Moses, the one who had already gone as a spy into the promised land, the one who had served as the assistant to Moses throughout the wilderness wanderings. And now, Joshua is being charged to be the one to lead God's people, the chosen people of Israel. His task is to bring the people into the promised land that they had been traveling towards for nearly 40 years. And as he receives the exhortation from God, he receives an exhortation to have courageous faith for the challenge that lies ahead, and an exhortation to not fear. Please follow along as I read God's word, the first nine verses of Joshua 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. We can imagine, we can probably only imagine, the potential fear and anxiety that gripped the hearts of the people of Israel after Moses had died. But certainly that would pale in comparison to the potential fear that Joshua could have had in being the responsible leader to a fearful nation. Christian, there is a potential for paralyzing fear as we journey toward our own promised land. There is a potential for anxiety about every challenge along the way. This passage calls you toward a courageous faith. Well, what does it mean to be strong and courageous? What does it mean to have courageous faith in a promise-keeping God? Is this a call to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and try harder to be courageous in the face of cancer, a shipwrecked marriage, rebellious children, unemployment, or depression? No. Courageous faith is a call to fear God. Courageous faith is a call to worship God. Courageous faith is a call to lean on God to bring you safely through all the challenges of this journey to your promised land. In this passage, God is calling His children to fear Him. Courageous faith is a practice of fearing God more than the challenges in front of you. And courageous faith is a gift from God to His children. So how does God give this courageous faith to His children? I think the passage outlines for us at least three ways in which God gives courageous faith to His children. First of all, we could note from verses 1 and 2 that courageous faith is given by God through the realities of His promises. Last week we noted that the overarching theme of the book of Joshua is a history of a promise-keeping God. We see that God gives courageous faith through the reality of these promises. Verse 1 says, "Now after the death of Moses." Verse 2 says, "Moses, my servant, is dead." This point must not be overlooked. We need to remember how the Pentateuch presents Moses and how the children of Israel even viewed Moses. He was a towering figure. There was nobody that they had known that was greater. He received direct revelation from God. You remember the glowing face that we read about? Deuteronomy 34. "There has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him, for all the signs and wonders that the Lord had sent to him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all the servants and all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel." Think of the revere that Moses had among the people of Israel. There was no one like Moses in Israel, and now he had died. There's not a lot of lag time before we see Joshua and God's instruction, His exhortation to Joshua. We see some realities of the promises of God. God's work continues. God still has a plan. God still has a purpose for His children. And God's purposes do not change. But Moses' death would not cripple the nation. You can imagine the anxiety of a nation. Consider the defaults of the people of Israel, the default mode of the people towards thoughts of instability. But now, after the death of a leader, God does not exhort His people just to wait around and weep. He doesn't exhort His people even to wait. He doesn't exhort His people to wonder what's going to happen. The call is instead, rise up and cross into this promised land. the reality of God's promises would bring a courageous faith to his servant and to his children. The man and the manner and the millennium may change, but God does not change. Moses dies, but God's promises live on. Moses passes from the scene, but God's purposes continue to unfold. It wasn't only that God had made promises. God was going to bring his promises to pass. God wasn't going to forget about any of the promises that he had made in previous lives, in previous men, in previous generations. Have you ever forgotten about a promise that you made? Have you ever heard this at your house? Or do you remember saying this as a child? But Dad, you promised. You promised, Dad, that we were going to be able to do this or that. I've never heard that at my house, but I've visited some of your houses, and I've heard some people at your houses say those things. Human fathers may forget about promises that they made, or children may misunderstand what a human father has said. But my friends, our Heavenly Father cannot and does not forget about any of the promises that he has made to us. One writer put it this way: one of the great enemies of hope, one of the great enemies of hope is forgetting God's promises. So don't wallow in the mire of godless messages in your own head. Without reminding ourselves of the greatness and the grace of God, we sink into brutish pessimism. If we don't bring back to our mind what God has said about himself and about us, and if we waffle, we will lack courageous faith. Don't wallow in the mire of godless messages in your own head. Oh, I ruined it. I can't do this. It will never work out. They always. Godless messages in our heads. Instead, rehearse the good and unfailing promises of God to yourself. You see, promised rest does not come through a more disciplined living. Promised rest does not come through better life choices. Our promised rest doesn't come through more righteous living on our part. Friends, promised rest comes through the perfect righteous living of Jesus Christ alone. He is the one who invited us to come unto him, and he would give us rest. Fear God more than you fear the challenges that you face on this journey towards promised rest. He is the only one who can give you promised rest that he has promised. Courageous faith is the practice of fearing God more than the challenges in front of you. And courageous faith is a gift from God to his children. Courageous faith comes from God through the realities of his promises being fleshed out in your life. Secondly, courageous faith is given by God to the comfort of his presence. Look at verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Joshua didn't receive instruction, hey, go be bold, and that's it. It's not an instruction that says, okay, Joshua, you work really hard on this being courageous thing. You'll do great. No, it's not like that either. Rather, Joshua is called to be strong because Jehovah is with him. Jehovah is going to be with Joshua wherever the soles of his feet went. That is how Joshua can be strong and be very courageous. God informs him that he can have success against all that he faces. You talk about a boost to your confidence. You talk about a sure means of comfort. God says, I'm going to be with you just like I was with Moses. Wherever you go, nothing is going to be able to stand against you. A few years ago, Peyton and I went to a place up on 283, Laser Dome. It's a great place to go. And we enjoyed some time there. I think we were with friends that night. And they suit you up with these vests and these instruments in your hands. And you're able to use these instruments in your hands to shoot at targets, to push lasers from the instruments to other targets and the other team. And the vests talk to you, and sometimes they would give you this message that you're invincible. And that means whoever's sending a laser your way, it doesn't do anything to you. It doesn't take points away from you. And you can go through and go to the other team's target and send your laser towards that target and score all kinds of points, and you're invincible. And one time, my vest told me I was invincible. And I'm glad there wasn't a camera in there, because I probably wasn't being too mature, but I felt empowered. And there was smaller children in there, and I was kind most of the time, and I felt empowered. I felt invincible. That was a great word for my vest to tell me. A silly little game that lasts for a few minutes. And Jehovah God told his servant Joshua, "You don't need to fear. I'm with you. Wherever your feet trod, I will be with you." Courageous faith is given by God, secondly, through the comfort of his presence. It was the same promise that God had made to Moses at the bush that burned with fire. It was recorded in Exodus chapter 3. "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent when you have brought the people into the land of Egypt. You shall serve God on this mountain." It was the same promise that Joshua actually had already heard in Deuteronomy chapter 3. "I commanded Joshua at the time, 'Your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord do all the kingdoms to which you are crossing. You shall not fear them, for it is the Lord your God who fights for you.'" And then in Deuteronomy chapter 31, the Lord commissioned Joshua the son of Nun and said, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land, and I swore to give them. I will be with you." Imagine the comfort. Imagine the confidence provided to this servant of the Lord. He had witnessed the comfort that Moses had received from the presence of God already. And now God was informing Joshua that he would continue to be with him as he entered into this new land. That's what strengthens the faith of a child of God in 2019, knowing that he is with us. Christian, you don't have to pray when you gather with other Christians, "Lord, please be with the missionaries." Sometimes that's our default prayer, isn't it? "Lord, please be with so-and-so as they go through this trial." That's kind of like saying, "Lord, be holy." Because God is holy, just as he is omnipresent. God is with his children. God hasn't left his children. Psalm 139, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Where shall I go from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." The presence of God with his children is so guaranteed that we can't even escape it if we try to do so with all of our might. That presence, his presence with us, energizes us. It encourages us with courageous faith. When we consider the commission that we as followers of Christ have been given, we call it the Great Commission. When we consider our responsibility and our opportunity in the Great Commission, we can have courageous faith. Because let's admit, sometimes we're fearful when we're carrying out the Great Commission. Sometimes we're fearful to speak the gospel news. But even in that, Jesus said, "Go. Go, therefore, teach nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you, even to the ends of the world." Even to the ends of the world. HBC kiddos, young people, break the Lancaster mold. Go live somewhere else. Go to a far country. Every Sunday we pray for a different country of the world that needs gospel workers. Go. We'll gladly send you. will gladly support you, will gladly hold your arms up. And if you go, you don't have to fear, because Jesus has promised that he will be with you to the uttermost parts of the world. And parents, if they go, you don't have to be fearful. You can have courageous faith because Jesus is with them to the uttermost part of the world. And Jesus is with you while your children are gone. HBC adults, consider retiring to a foreign mission field to live out the gospel that has already transformed you. You need not to be anxious about it. You need not to be fearful about it. Jesus is with you wherever you go. His presence comforts us. It gives us courageous faith to fear God. We can fear him more than the challenge that lies before us. Even if that challenge is going through the valley of the shadow of death, because as he told the psalmist, "Yea, though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." The presence of our Lord gives comfort, and that comfort enables us to be strong and very courageous until we lay hold of the promised rest that is ours to come. Courage isn't something that we work up with our willpower. Courageous faith comes as we are comforted by the presence of God. Hebrews chapter 13, "Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. He has said, I won't leave you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." So be very strong. Be very courageous. Every single step of your journey toward the promised rest, he is with you. What a glorious hope. Courageous faith is the practice of fearing God more than fearing the challenge that is in front of you. And courageous faith is a gift from God. Courageous faith is given by God through the realities of his promises. Courageous faith is given by God through the comfort of his presence. And thirdly, courageous faith is given by God through the foundation of his word. We read of it in verses 6 through 9. Joshua and the people of Israel had great reason to fear what was before them, didn't they? They had great reason to fear, but they had even greater reasons not to fear. God exhorts Joshua, stick to the word. Verse 8, "This book of the law, it should not depart out of your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do, to obey, according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." God exhorts Joshua to stick to the word. Don't let it leave your mouth. Friend, God's word should be part of our normal day-to-day contacts with family and friends and others. Do it out loud. Speak the word of God. Our HBC teens are currently in a ministry of quizzing, and in April they will participate in a quizzing tournament with a competition with other churches. So one of those teens lives at my house, and so every night after dinner, as dinner concludes, we hand out copies of a chapter of the book of James, and we go around the table and we read aloud the word of God. We take turns reading different portions of that chapter. Let the word of God be on your mouth. Speak the word. Meditate on the word. God is not secretive, is he, about the equation to obedience? He says, meditate on his word day and night. A lot of us skip that step. A lot of us are tempted to skip that step. To meditate, to ponder, to marinate on the word of God. Many Christians think, oh, go to church, pay attention to the sermon, and then don't think about the word of God until the next Lord's Day. Meditation, this idea of meditating on the word of God, has the goal of application into our lives. James Montgomery Boyce said it this way, "It is only as the word of God gets into our minds and begins to become part of our normal day-to-day reasoning and thinking that we begin to act differently and thereby make a difference." As we consider God's word, as we meditate on the word, as it's part of our thinking, then it will affect our living. Obey the word. Be strong to obey the word. Constant, careful absorbing of the word of God leads to obedience of God's word. And a lack of study, a lack of knowledge of God's word leads to a lack of obedience. It's important for us to note that Joshua would not succeed because he obeys God's instruction. He will succeed because God is with him to enable him to obey God's instruction. God is with you to enable you to obey. We know what is right, right? Many of us know the word fairly well. Many of us are well-churched people. We've been in church for years. We understand what is right and what is wrong. We understand that it's right to love one another. It's right for us to gather on the Lord's day. It's right for us to draw near to God through the disciplines of grace that he's given us to pray. It's right for us to honor our father and our mother. We know what sin is too. We know that it's sin to provoke our children to anger. It's sin to get drunk. It's sin to have sexual relations outside of marriage. It's sin to be unkind to one another. It's not that we don't know what is right. It's that we don't live out what we do know. A prosperous way was not promised via military prowess. It was not about a military strategy or ability that would give success to the promise of inheriting the promised land. No, it was the word of God that would yield success. And the same is true for you in 2019. Success in the journey of inheriting the promised rest for Christians is not about some little gimmick for the Christian life. It's not that way at all. Rather, our courageous faith comes as we know the word, as we meditate on the word, as we obey the word. Don't turn from the right. Don't turn from the left. Don't depart from the word. Joshua would be the prototype of the happy man, the blessed man that's described in the very first psalm. Young man, prepare for marriage now by knowing the word. Young adults, prepare for future parenting now by knowing the word. Golden Age harvester, hear, read, meditate on, and obey the word of your God. Christian, God gives you courageous faith through the foundation of his word. Be strong and very courageous. Isn't that how the Apostle Paul exhorted the church at Ephesus? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the very spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Courageous faith comes to the foundation of God's word. Joshua and the people of Israel faced a transfer of power, a transition, and a future task that could produce great anxiety and fear. They had good reason to fear, but they had greater reasons not to fear. So in his grace, God reminded them of the realities of his promises to them. He reminded them of the comforts of his presence with them. He reminded them of the foundation of his word to them. The call was to have courageous faith in the place of paralyzing fear. Courageous faith is a practice of fearing God more than the challenge that lies ahead. It's a gift from God. Christian, I don't know exactly the struggle. I don't know all of the details of your life and the fears and the anxieties that you experience today. But I do know that you and I need to fear God, to stand in awe of God, to worship God. That doesn't happen just as we try harder to live the Christian life. That doesn't happen simply via self-discipline. Rather, courageous faith in our journey towards promised rest comes as a gift from God as we recognize the realities of His promises in our life. His promises are sure. His purposes are unhindered. What's going to happen in our life, He is called to happen. He's ordaining to happen. Courageous faith comes as His gift of through the comfort of His presence with you. Friend, He is not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's going to be with you through the valley of the shadow of death. He's going to be with you to the ends of the earth. Courageous faith comes to us as a gift from God, the foundation of His Word. So we're called to know it, to meditate on it, to obey it. I said at the beginning of our service that Joshua, the name, means Jehovah saves. The Greek equivalent then of Joshua is Jesus. If you don't know this Jesus, if you don't know the Jesus that we have celebrated this morning at the table, if you don't have a relationship with the one who saves, if you don't believe that He will bring you to promised rest, then I invite you to accept His gift of salvation today. If you have questions about what that would mean or how you can do that, how you can turn from sin and believe in Christ, we will show you from God's Word. We'd be glad to do that at the conclusion of this service. Christian, as you are presented with opportunities to fear on your journey towards promised rest, run to the second Joshua, Jesus Christ, the one who saves. When you fear that your faith will fail, remember that Christ will hold you fast. When you fear that you will allow temptation to overtake you, remember that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for you before the throne of God. When you fear that your screw-ups are too numerous, that your sins are so many, remember that His mercy is more. When you fear that you will not persevere in your faith in Christ, remember that every single spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is yours in Christ Jesus. Courageous faith is given by God through the realities of His promises to us, through the comfort of His presence with us, and through the foundation of His Word to us. And now as I close, there is a tool for you to apply these verses in your own life that I'd like to share with you. It's a prayer from the text of a song that you could offer to the Lord. It's a prayer that can replace your fearful thoughts. It's a prayer that asks God to make you strong and very courageous. And may God be pleased for this to be the prayer of Harvest Bible Church as we continue on to our promised rest. Hear the words of the song. Give us faith to be strong. Give us strength to be faithful. This life is not long, but it's hard. Give us grace to go on. Make us willing and able. Lord, give us faith to be strong. Give us peace when we're torn. Mend us up when we break. This flesh can be wounded and shaking. When there's much, too much trouble for one heart to take, give us peace when we're torn. Give us hearts to find hope. Father, we cannot see how the sorrow we feel can bring freedom. And as hard as we try, Lord, it's hard to believe. Oh, give us hearts to find hope. Give us faith to be strong. Give us strength to be faithful. This life is not long, but it's hard. Give us grace to go on. Make us willing and able. Lord, give us faith to be strong. Give us peace when we're torn. Give us faith to be strong. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.